We'll start another study, which I think we can carry through this month, of the foundational principles. So where we'll reach, I'm usually not in a hurry with Bible studies to finish in that, because it gives us time to reflect, time to talk. So for those who have joined us today, know in the Bible study, we allow questions. You are free to talk, free to give in your opinion, free to give answers or suggestions, and because we believe it's an interactive session and it is helping us to learn and understand. Because in the church, whenever you know someone is preaching, there's no time to comment. Preaching time, there's no allowance for questions, no allowance for comments. But I always believe in the Bible study is the best time for every believer to learn, to ask questions, and even things that they do not know. So what I felt led that we start teaching is about the foundational principles of the Christian life, because I think actually, if I give you my train of thought, I was thinking that we'd learn something about speaking in tongues, but then I realized, you know, we cannot go to the gifts before we go to the foundation, you know, and even what is, you know, how Christian, what does that mean, and why is it even necessary to be a Christian? You know, those are some of the questions that we'll try and answer. And we'll just look at the Word of God, because in Bible study, we study the Bible so that we can know really what God wants us to understand. Okay, so we're going to start. And as in everything that we know, we always start from the beginning. You know, if you go to science, they will tell you, maybe who wants to give us an idea of how many... What theories do they have about creation that they know, that the world teaches about creation? Who wants to try? Which theory of creation do you know? Because there are usually many, many, many theories that the world teaches. Who wants to give a try? Theories of creation. Any. You can mention any. Even if you don't state it in full, but you have heard something like this. Let me hear.
Yes, there is the theory of evolution.
Okay, which was done by Charles Darwin. He said that human beings evolved. they said that human beings came from monkeys. Okay, someone else wants to try this theory of evolution. Who else has a try? Which other theory have you heard? Yes, Sukanta, go ahead.
Not theory, but Bible says that God was exist.
Yes.
Before creation of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So and first of all, He created the light, day and night.
Yeah.
So, and also trees, animals.
Mm-hmm.
When he saw that everything is okay, everything is beautiful, but there is no any human being.
Yeah.
That's why he created Adam.
Yeah.
And then he.
Okay, that's good, and that's really the Bible creation story. I think there are many theories. There is some that is called the Big Bang Theory, where they believe that there was a great explosion and then everything came into being, you know, after that. But always, whenever they are asked what was the starting point, okay, those atoms that collided, who created them? No one can answer. That is why it's only the Bible that gives us the real creation story, because it starts in the beginning, and the beginning starts with God. And so when God, and I mean, when we read from the beginning, it says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, you know, and the Bible says the earth was formless and void, and the Spirit of God moved over the waters, and God said, let there be light, you know. And then after that, He starts the beginning of creation. But then after God had created, and this is the part that we will not look, we quickly go up to, you know, the sixth day, where now God desires to make man. And when we read Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28, the Bible says, then God said, let us make man in our image and according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, what we see from this initial aspect of creation is that God's first idea about man, when he says, let us make man in our image, that means that human beings are made in the image of God. Now, what does that mean? It means that when God was making a human being, he made the human being in the shape that God is, okay? Now, the only difference is that the human beings are in made of dust or made of clay. But in the shape that the human being is that he is shaped in the image of God. But then also, it also says according to our likeness. Now, that means that there are physical attributes that are resembling God in a man, and there are also spiritual attributes that resemble God in a man. And what we know is that the physical aspect, which is the body of the man, is made in the shape or in the image of God. But then the likeness, that means the spiritual aspect, which is the spirit of God, that God breathes into man, that made him to become in the image and likeness of God. Now, the difference between animals, plants, and human beings is that animals and plants, they were not even created in the way that God made, or they were not made in the image of God. In fact, when you see the creation story, the plants, the Bible says, let the earth produce, you know, let wild animals appear, you know, let fish come. But for man, God's desire is that he wanted a man to be made in the image and likeness of God and to rule. The word their dominion means to rule. And man was supposed to rule over what? Over fish, over birds, over the cattle, that means of the livestock, or, you know, or the animals that are kept at home, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And the Bible says God made them in his own image. That means he made them male and female. That means both the man and the woman are made in the image of God. Then there's something that God did. Then God said, God blessed them and he told them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing. Now, one thing that you will understand about God is that God does something once, and whatever he has made has the ability to reproduce itself. You understand? So that means like the plants, he made them with seed, that the plants themselves, when they become mature, they will produce seed and they will come back again on the earth, you know. And then for man, he only made one man and one woman, and the male and female, and he knew by these two, they will be able to fill and multiply the earth, and he told them to be fruitful. So that means it is a command from God, and rather it is the blessing of God that each of us should be fruitful. So if you go to the original plan of God, God desires that man, first of all, to be in the image and likeness of God. And that is why you must respect people. you must honor people. Why? Because they are made in the image and likeness of God. Number two, you also must know that man was put on the earth to have rulership, to have dominion, to have authority. And this authority was not over other human beings, but it was over the created things, over animals, over fish. So creation of man was not to be, in God's original plan, the man and the woman were equal. And they were both blessed and they were both commanded to be fruitful and to have dominion. Then I want us to look at Genesis chapter 2, which is the next scripture there, that says, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Now, someone will ask, why are there two parts of creation? It is because usually there are two. What you'll say, in what you'll understand, there is the spiritual aspect and there is the physical aspect. So the first aspect is where God said, let us make. So that was a spiritual creation, in that God, in his mind and in his desire, he made man in his thoughts. But then now in the forming is where he now takes the clay and makes the man. You understand? So there's always two aspects of it. That starts in the spiritual, and then that manifests in the physical. So the Bible says, then God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground the Lord had made every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So there were many trees, in that you see verse 9, it says, and God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And then he says there were two other trees that are mentioned. There was a tree of life, which was also in the midst of the garden, and there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then verse 15, it says, of Genesis chapter 2, then the Lord God put the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat it, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good for a man to be alone. And then here is where we see how the woman was formed. Now, I'm going to ask a question. Why do you think that God put that tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden if he did not want them to take it? What are your thoughts? And why was that tree there? Because if God knew that these guys will mess up and take it, why did he put it there?
I think maybe, if I may come in, what I think is, the nature of God is he looks at obedience, because, you see, if you are able to obey, I think that was the whole essence for the man to be able to obey the commands of God and to be, to follow the laws. Mm-hmm. Because the man and the woman, they were given everything.
Yeah.
And except say, thou shalt not eat of this tree.
Mm.
So I think it's about God establishing rules, and also so that they can be obedience in the long option. Sure. Because even the Bible, I think it is in the book of Samuel, where Samuel says, obedience is better than sacrifice, when Saul had sinned, when he had gone ahead and offered a sacrifice to the Lord, when he was not supposed to, it was supposed to be done by the priest, who is Samuel.
Yeah.
So, and he says, obedience is better than sacrifice. So that is the kind of, that's what God is requiring, obedience.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good one. Someone else wants to try? Christine, what do you think? Why were there two trees? Ralph has given a good point that he was testing their obedience. He wanted to see how obedient they are. And do you think we would have done something different than Adam? How many people think at times that maybe if it was them, they would not have eaten that tree of knowledge of good and evil? Anyway, just let me just continue. The thing is, for me, what I also believe, in addition to obedience, God gave man free choice. Okay? Even today, the free will of a human being, God gave it to man, and God will never take it away. And that is why you can invite someone to church, but you cannot force them to church. You can give an invitation for Bible study, but you cannot force them to come. That person has to decide by themselves to come, either to come or not to come. You understand? Why? Because God will never force himself on anyone to follow him. For you to be a Christian, it is a choice that you will make as a person that I am choosing to obey God. Now then, basically for me, what I see is that this knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, when he tells them that the day you eat it, you shall surely die, that means there was a tree of life and there was a tree of death. And God was telling them, you choose. Do you want to choose life, which is available for them? In fact, from what I see, the tree of life was always available of them for them to eat it. But then they chose the tree of death, which was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And this was because of the deception of the devil. So God's original plan, as you can see, is that he wanted man to have dominion. Number two, he wanted them to be fruitful, to be blessed, to fill the earth, to have everything that they need. He even gives them a garden. He gave them food, but then he gave them one instruction. Do not eat of the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But then now, Genesis chapter 3 comes the entrance of one other character in the story, who is the serpent. And this is the snake. The serpent is the snake, and who we also know as the devil. Now, the serpent, as you can see in Genesis chapter 3 from verse 1, it says, the serpent or the snake was more cunning. That means he was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God has made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said that you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Now let us pause there. I want us to ask the question, is there any difference between what the woman said and what Adam was told by God concerning the tree? What difference do you see? Who wants to see if there's a difference between up to just verse 2 and 3? What was different from the instruction that God gave to Adam? Yes. Yes, Kontha, go ahead.
Yes. When Adam and Eve ate the fruit, then God came.
No. Okay, let's stick to verse 2 and 3. My question is, there was an instruction that God gave to Adam. You told him, you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which we have read. But now Eve is saying something different. Let me point it out. It says that, but the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, the question is, did God really say that if they touch it, they will die?
Yeah.
No.
No, God didn't say anything about the touching.
God did not say anything about the touching. He only said about the eating. And you see, this is the problem of when you hear from someone else. I think all of us have done this story where when someone is told something and then you pass the message, it becomes added to something else. So for me, this is already one area of doubt that came into the woman. Why? Because she must have touched the tree and she did not die. Before even the devil came. Now, when verse 4 then is where now the devil comes. Now, the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Now, what does the devil do? The devil twisted the words of God. God told them that you should not eat of that fruit, that because the day you eat it, you will die. But now the devil tells them something different. He says that you will not die. But God is hiding something from you. He says it's like God is hiding something, that in the day you eat, your eyes will be open and you will be like God. Now, did God make Adam and Eve in the image of and likeness of God? Yes. But what was different now that they are being told that they will be like God? God had already made them like him. Remember we read Genesis 1:26 to 28 that he was made them in the image and likeness of God. But then, now the devil is telling them, verse 5, that for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Verse 6, now here is where the woman was tempted. The Bible says that when the woman saw, and this sight is very important, because what the devil does, and this is something we'll understand about temptation, is that the devil gives you a sight or a vision that sin is nice. Okay? So the Bible says, so when the woman saw, that means she was seeing, yes, but she saw something different about the tree. She saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate it, and she also gave to her husband with her, who was with her, and he ate. And verse 7 says, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Now let's pause there for now. What I'm saying is that sin does not come abruptly to someone. What the devil does when he brings temptation to us is that he casts a vision. He gives you an idea that, imagine if you just stole this money, how many good things will you do with this money? Can you imagine if you just stole this money, you can buy yourself some nice shoes, or you can get yourself some nice food. So there was a vision that was cast in the sight of the woman, and this is the vision that the tree was good for food, and this is the first level of temptation. And this is where many people fail, because they think about their flesh or their food, what to eat. And many people sin because of food. Right now, the people who are stealing, they steal because of food. Number two deception, or the second deception that was coming, that it was pleasant to the eyes. That means it was beautiful. Why do people fall into wrong things or they commit adultery? Is because there is a vision that is cast in their eyes that, oh, this woman is beautiful, or this man is handsome. And then also, so that is the lust of the eyes. The Bible says, in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And so we see the third thing that was desirable to the woman is that it will make her wise. So she imagined, what is this kind of wisdom that God has not given them, that they can get? And when they ate it, the Bible says, their eyes were open and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. Now, I'm going to ask two questions. The first question is, did they really die? Or they did not die? So was Satan saying the truth, or he was lying? What do you think happened? Did they really die, or they? Yeah, someone can try. Yes, Kala.
For me, what I'm thinking is different. Mm-hmm. You will not consider this would be Christian belief, but if you want to think it logically, then serpent said the true thing, no? True, because
he said, he or she, whatever, it said that your eyes will be opened.
Mm-hmm.
That what I feel is it is true. Mm-hmm. Because before that, Adam and Eve, they did not see, they are naked.
Yeah.
They are like what I feel is kind of animal because they didn't have their sense, the consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And what I feel, it was true that serpent or Satan or devil said that your eyes will be opened. And yes, it is. We can see everything now, but choice is ourselves. Choice is ours, that what is good and what is bad, what should be follow, that is our choice. Because you said earlier that freedom of choice God has given to us.
Yes.
So this is my thinking.
Okay, it's a good one. You see, the thing is, the reason why it is true is because, the reason why their eyes were open is because the tree itself was a tree of knowledge. You understand? So the lie is, how the devil lies is that he mixes truth and a lie together. You understand? So he used the truth that their eyes will be open, in that they will have knowledge of good and evil. But there was a lie. The lie was that, one, they will not die. And number two, that they will become like God. Why is it a lie? Because number one, they died. How did they die? They died spiritually. And God had made man not to die. But the moment they ate of that fruit, death entered into the world. And even though they lived maybe 900 years, eventually they died. Now, the other lie is that they will be like God. They were already made in the image and likeness of God. So that was another lie that the enemy gave them. And you can see, the enemy will test you based on what you know about God. Now, if you don't know the truth about God, then you will be deceived by the devil. Now, the other thing that is saying that they were naked. Now, the question is it that, do we feel like they were not naked? That means they did not have clothes. You see, maybe in principle, I can put it this way. There is a knowledge that God did not desire them to have. It's not that they were animals. They were superior. They were made in the image and likeness of God. They had control over the animals. They named the animals. Ideally, what, you know, theologians and teachers have said is that this man was covered by the glory of God. Or if they were not covered by the glory of God, there was a form of covering, a spiritual garment that God had given them that had kept them. Now, when their eyes were open, they lost that covering. And now they had understanding of evil. That means that God only actually had wanted them to know good. He had not wanted them to know evil. And that is the problem, because many times you find people are learning more about the devil instead of learning more about God. You understand? So if you find yourself, you're learning more about the devil instead of learning more about the God, you find that you're learning more about evil than learning more about good. Now, human effort. The Bible says that they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. So that covering that they wanted to cover themselves was not sufficient. Why? Because it was just fig leaves. Verse 8, then, and they heard the sound of the Lord, or the voice of the Lord, God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Now, why is this verse important? Yes, thank you, Sukanta. They did not die physically, but they died spiritually. Why is this verse important? It shows us that God's original plan was that he will come and meet and interact with man just free. And in fact, someone has taught that Eden represents that it was a place on the earth where heaven and earth were interacting. You understand? Where there was a free flow of heaven, there was a connection between heaven and earth, and that's why God could just come and visit them anytime in the cool of the day, and then they are on the earth. And you see, when what happened, when voice, the sound of the Lord, the voice of the Lord came walking in the garden in the cool of the day, they heard it. What did they say? They hid themselves. Why? Because they were naked. And verse 9, it says, then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Now, is it that God did not know where they were hiding? God knew. But you see, when he's asking them, where are you? He is asking them because he's not finding them in the place of authority that he had given them. Why? Because the moment they followed the devil, they gave away the dominion, the power that God had given man for the earth. They gave it away to the devil. And if you remember in the temptation of Jesus, Satan says that, I can give to any man this kingdom because it was handed over to me. When was it handed over to them? God never gave the devil dominion over the earth. But it was Adam, by obeying the devil, he gave away his authority and his dominion to the devil. And that is why when God is asking Adam, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Anytime we sin, anytime we are sinful or we commit sin, we find that we are naked, and the natural response is to run away from God. That is a natural response. And that's why at times when you find people are running away from church or they are not in the presence of God, it's actually because of sin. Either it's sin that keeps people away from the presence of God. Yet God has given us his mercy, which is the forgiveness of sins, by the blood of Jesus, that we can come and receive forgiveness of sins. Verse 11, it says, and he asked them, who told you that you were naked? That means, which other voice are you hearing? Which other voice have you heard? And he asked them, have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Then the man said, it is the woman who you gave to be with me. She gave me of the tree and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is it that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. So when we sin, what happens? We become naked, we run away from God, and then instead of taking responsibility for our mistakes, we blame people. You can see the man said, it is a woman. God, you are responsible. Why? Because you are the one who gave me the woman. Then the woman says, it is not me, oh, it is the snake deceived me. So God only spoke with Adam and Eve. And we'll also see how he deals with the serpent, because God did not and does not negotiate with the devil. This is something that you will see. God did not ask the devil, why did you deceive them? He immediately goes to judgment of the devil. Maybe let me pause there. If there are any reflections up until this point, what is coming to your mind? Is there anything significant that is coming that you are seeing that you had not seen, or that something that is making sense to you, especially about mankind sinning against God's command? Maybe I'll give one or two reflections and then we can go ahead. Yes, Kalal, come
on. I was thinking of that, you see, we know this story from our childhood, but yes. The problem is here, Adam was instructed not to go near to the tree and even eat the fruit. But when they both ate, then what was the reply of Adam to God? He was saying that the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave this fruit.
Yeah.
So this is a confusing response for me. Mm. It always confused me, because you see, if you are my supervisor, if you instructed me not to go there and not to have something there or eat something there, but if anyone, my colleague, another colleague, she or he, whatever, my brother could be, but my colleague could be, he could be male, and he could bring some food or food to me, and he can offer me, and then I can, I might eat by not knowing that is that kind of fruit or food or whatever it is, without knowing, having that food that instructed. I know the instruction. I know, but I didn't know. I did notice that this is that food because it. I did that fruit or food. I did not taste it. I did not taste it before.
Yeah.
So this confused me. Mm. You see, at the position of Adam, he did not taste that fruit before.
Yeah.
And he did not. What I feel reading or going through this sentence that he even did not go closer to the trees, and even he did not pluck that fruit from the trees. But Eve, he did it, and he offered to Adam, and Adam might have it without knowing that this is the fruit which was abundant or which was instructed not to eat.
If you go to verse 6, the Bible tells us she also gave to her husband who was with her. In fact, other versions says her husband was with her. So Adam was not, the fruit was not brought later when he was not there. In fact, it is worse because that verse, just before verse 7, you will see he gave her husband with her. That means Adam was watching when his wife is being tempted by the devil. So Adam is also responsible. He cannot say that he was deceived. And in fact, the Bible says that Adam rebelled against God, but Eve was deceived. That means Adam knew for sure. So he rebelled against God.
Even knowing, you see that if you consider what I feel is that the anxiety or the the hard work in the world when they are terminated from the garden, they sent to the earth. Then what do you feel that we are more laborious than male are more laborious than female?
Okay,
they did not eat the fruit directly, you see?
Yes, and actually that's where we now come to the judgment. Now, why do I call it God's judgment and grace? Why? Because grace is God's mercy, you understand? Now, we're reading from verse 14, Genesis 3. The Bible says, "So the Lord God said to the serpent..." So God did not even ask the serpent, why did you deceive them? Because God does not negotiate with the devil. He only negotiates with the human beings. And actually, I believe if Adam had said he is sorry, God would have shown mercy to him. You understand? Because God is actually gracious. And when you see, so the Lord God said to the serpent, he said, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life." Verse 15, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Now I want to stop there because we, just for that pause there, because we are speaking about the judgment to the devil. Now, when you read this, it says, he said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle." Now, that tells you that even if you look at the judgment, God never cursed man. And this is something you will have to understand as we read these portions. Why? Because God had already blessed them. You understand me? In the beginning, God had blessed them and he said, "Be fruitful and multiply." So now, God does not curse human beings. But the serpent is cursed, and he is told, you shall go on your belly. That tells you that the snake, the original snake, had legs. The original snake was eating grass like cattle. But now, the original snake, because the snake did this, he was told, now you shall move on your belly. That means it was its legs were cut off. And then he was also told, you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And this dust, apart from the dust on the ground, it is also symbolic of man. Why? Because man was made from the dust. The flesh of man was made from the dust. And he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman. That means that from that time, the devil has always been an enemy to man. And even from that time before, he was also an enemy. And he says, and between your seed, that means the seed of the snake and her seed. Now, who is this seed that is put in capital letter? Is Christ. This is now where God is introducing his grace. That means even from the moment of judgment, at that point, God already shows them mercy. And he says that even though there is enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, he says that he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. That means even from the origin, you can see the man, the seed of the man, is greater than the seed of the snake. Why? Because the seed of the snake will only bruise, touch the heel. So who is higher? It is the man. But in fact, even here he's saying you shall bruise your head, but I think other version says he shall crush your head. Now let's look at the punishment to the woman. He said, to the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. That means the challenge now came for the woman in that God increased pain. It says, in pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. So, remember in the beginning, God had made man and woman equal. He had blessed them, he had given them dominion. But now, because of the woman, he said, now you will have pain in labor. And then you shall also bring forth your children in pain. And then you shall desire for your husband. And beyond that, he shall rule over you. So now God made Adam to be ruler over his wife. Then verse 17, he now speaks of judgment to Adam. He says, then to Adam, he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife. That means he's telling Adam, your mistake was not even hearing the devil. You heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it. Now, is the man cursed? No. He says, cursed is the ground for your sake. So the ground is cursed, but not Adam cursed. And he says, in toil, that means in sweat, you shall eat of it all the days of your life. When God made Adam, he gave him every fruit. But now, because Adam sinned, he says, you shall sweat for your own food all the days of your life. And verse 18 says, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat of the herb of the field. Verse 19, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you are taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. So he's told, you shall sweat for your food. For dust you are, and dust you shall return. That means, because you came from dust, you shall go back to dust. Verse 21, but you see now the mercy of God. Also for Adam and his wife, the Bible says, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man. Now just to pause on that, it shows us that God had to make the first sacrifice. He had to kill an animal for him to make for them clothes of skin. That means he had to shed blood. Remember, they had made for themselves fig leaves. But for God to have mercy on them, he kills an animal, he sheds blood, makes skin, clothes of skin for them. And then God now says, the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil, and now lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. You know, for therefore the Lord God had sent him out in the garden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed a cherubim, who is an angel, at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. What do you think about this judgment to Adam? Is there grace? Is there judgment? What are your thoughts? Let me hear from you. Anyone with a reflection? Yes, go ahead.
Okay.
Yes, Mr. Go ahead.
I would say it's a grace because as they committed sin,
yeah,
God could have killed them, right?
Mm.
And I mean, created them, and he could have vanished them,
yeah,
from the garden and made some new people. He might,
yes, true,
but instead, God kept alive,
yeah,
and yes, and the punishment, like that, now they will know how to live and yes, work hard,
yeah,
and live their life by themselves.
Mm. Okay, good. So we're seeing the mercy of God, the grace of God, because for sure God would have brought other human beings. It's possible. Hey, Ralph, you had a comment?
I think I saw Christine wanted to say something. I'll go after Christine.
Okay, Christine, go ahead.
Rafael, go ahead.
No, Christine, go. Ralph has spoken. Let us hear your voice. Okay, Ralph, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. All right. So yes, I want to agree that there was grace, because God could have simply, in his infinite wisdom and yeah, in his power, he could have simply said, okay, because you've disappointed me, I am the creator, I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to just destroy you. Yeah. Then I create somebody who's going to be obedient.
Yeah.
You know? But then if you look closely there, I think there is mercy. And because I think maybe God said, he looked at to say, if he kills or destroys man completely,
yeah,
remember he said, let us make man in our own image.
Mm.
So it, you know, I think maybe he felt compassion because he felt like it's destroying himself or part of himself,
yeah,
when he would destroy man.
Mm.
So in a way, as much as he was disappointed,
yeah,
he took a lesser harsh punishment, whereby because of the sin, men were also made to realize the gravity of their sin.
Yeah.
Where, you know, just like what happens if you're a parent, if your child misbehaves,
yeah,
sometimes you take away some of the privileges.
Mm.
So that you can show your disappointment. And I think this is exactly what God did also.
Yeah.
But he was merciful because, you know, he did not have to kill animals, but he did that to show that he still had love for men.
Yeah.
So he went out of his way to also do things that he didn't want to do. But just like a father, you know, or a mother, you do a lot of things for your children because you love them.
Yeah.
And you sometimes punish them because you love them. And I think so this is the love of God that was even shown there to us to mankind.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll stop there.
No, thank you for that. Indeed, it's the love of God. And you see, the thing is, if you think about it, God also showed mercy by chasing them out of the garden. Why is it so? And why do you think it was a mercy to chase them out of the garden instead of them eating of that fruit of eternal life and living forever? Why do you think that God had to chase them away? Maybe this is a question. Why do you think that God had to chase them away from the garden after they sinned so that they don't eat of the tree of life?
Hello, Doc. We cannot hear you.
Oh, sorry. My network is in and out. I hope it. Anyway, it's almost time.
Yes. Now we can hear you.
Okay. I wanted to say it is a mercy of God that God did not keep them in the garden to eat of the tree of life in their fallen state. That's what I want you to understand. Because can you imagine if they eat, they become eternal beings that are damned, you understand, that are dead, that have not received the mercy and the forgiveness of God. That means they were going to be eternally in eternal death. And that's why God has to keep them away from the garden by putting the angel until the time when he sends the Son of God, who is Jesus Christ, as the seed of the woman to come and pay the price for sin. And when that is done, then now the way to the tree of life is opened. Why? Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we can see that even Jesus was already demonstrated in the garden. Why? Because he was there as the tree of life. That's why he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm going to stop there. I think that is what we have covered today. And in summary, for us to really understand the foundations of our faith, we start with the starting point of God's original plan for man. His plan was man to be made in the image and likeness of God. He makes them in the image and likeness of God. He makes all creation for Adam and his wife. He blesses them. He gives them a garden, but he gives them free choice. Choose life or choose death. Death was covered in the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Then the serpent enters and casts a vision of deception, which is that the tree looks good for food. It looks good through the eyes. It looks good for wisdom. And it tells them, if you eat it, you will be like God. And they took of that tree, that fruit, and when they ate it, the Bible says their eyes were opened. They did not die physically at that point, but they died spiritually. And because they died spiritually, God has to give judgment. But the judgment comes with mercy. The judgment comes with grace. The serpent, there is no grace for the serpent. The serpent loses its legs and is told his head shall be crushed by the seed of the woman. The woman has some judgment where she will be saved by childbirth. She will have, you know, pain in childbirth. And the man is told that you will sweat, you will eat from the dust, and you will eat from it. And then they are both chased away from the garden, but God gives them clothes. He kills an animal, shedding blood, and gives them clothes. But you see, this marks a separation between God's plan, original plan for man, and God's plan is destroyed by the sin of Adam. So this is our summary for today, and I pray that even when we meet next, that we shall be able now to see what is the effect of sin, and what does sin do, and what is God's answer to sin. So for there, I'm going to stop, and maybe I can request Ralph if you can pray for us as we conclude.
Thank you so much, Dr. Soma, and thank you everyone for participating in the study. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, in the mighty and holy name of Jesus, Father, we want to thank you for this time. We want to thank you for this opportunity to come into your presence, that, oh God, we may learn. Almighty God, we may hear your word, that, Father, we may spend time, Father God, to be nourished by you. Father God, we thank you for this is our daily bread. This is the truth and the way, Almighty God, that you are giving us. Father, we thank you for that knowledge. We thank you for that understanding. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I pray for each and every person who is a part of this Bible study. May you enlighten our lives. May you give us eyes and ears of understanding that, oh God, your word, Father, as you say in your word, that, oh God, we should meditate upon your word day and night. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, help us, Almighty God, because your word is the light to our feet. Father, help us, oh God, that as we move up and down, that we may be able to understand, we may be able to live and to practice your word in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you in the name of Jesus, because you were there, you are there, and you continue to be there now and forever and ever. Father, we thank you even for our families. We thank you for everything that you have given us, our jobs. We thank you even for our friends. We thank you even for the fellowship. We thank you for the church here at Cox's Bazaar. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you that, oh God, you may continue to create a hunger and thirst for righteousness. You may continue to create a hunger and thirst, Almighty God, to hear your word, to spend time, Almighty God, into your presence. We want to thank you even for Dr. Somau, even for his life, for his family. We want to thank you, Almighty God, for him, for his commitment to your work, for his commitment, Father God, to be used by you. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray for fresh anointing. I pray that, oh God, you may remember him. I pray that, oh God, you may continue to elevate him. You may continue, Father, to speak to his life. You may continue, Father, to give him the spirit of understanding, spirit of wisdom to be upon his life. In Jesus' mighty name, we bless you. We thank you, for God, we know we do not labor in vain, Almighty God. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you. We bless your name. I thank you for each and every person. I pray that you may remember them. You may remember us tonight, Almighty God, in Jesus' mighty name. For we have taken time to be in your presence, Almighty God. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the fruits, Almighty God, of the Spirit that are being birthed in our lives, Almighty God, in Jesus' mighty name. Father God, as we go to the different things, to various places, Father, we thank you tonight. We pray for the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us. Father, even as we meet together on Friday, we pray for the service, we pray for the preachers, we pray for everyone, who pray for praise and worship, we pray, Almighty God, for everything. We commit your service, we commit your people into your hands, in Jesus' mighty name. We bless you, we thank you tonight, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. It's good to see you all. Tabu, all is well. Good.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Have a good rest.
Thank you so much.
Have a good night.
Thank you.
Yes, all is well. All is well, doctor.
Okay, good, good. Are you back in Cox?
All is well.
Okay, fine.
No, not yet.
Okay. Okay, take care. Have a good time with the family.
All right. Miss having you with the family here.
Okay, enjoy. Yeah.
Bye, traveling. Thanks for sharing.
Okay, bye-bye. God blessings and greetings to them. Yeah, all bye.
Okay, bye.
Hi, Mr.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye, Sukantha. God bless you.